some things we need to learn about God's call on our lives from the reading today. All of the readings. Beginning with Samuel. We can learn from Samuel and Eli about the way God calls people. There's a couple of elements to it that are, I think, parallel in everyone's life that I know of. That is one. Samuel was not expecting it. It came out of the blue for him. A little fellow like that, got a call in the middle of the night. Not convenient. And many of y'all have gotten phone calls in the middle of the night. Usually somebody saying, would you like to buy a solar panel for your roof? That's what I expect when I get woken up in the middle of the night. I'm never happy when somebody wakes me up. Never good. I should tell my son, do not wake me up unless it's an emergency. So, a couple times, I'd wake up and he'd be standing there, right up against my face, looking at me when he was about four or five.
Yes.
And I'd scream, ah! I'd say, what are you doing? Well, you didn't want me to wake you up. Being woken up is not easy, but he got woken up. He was actually destined to be a priest because, you know, like I said, his mother had given him to Eli. You know, like they do for the young Buddhist monks. They take them when they're a little kid and put them in the temple. This is, can you imagine that if you want a child to be a doctor? When they're 4 years old, you take them over to the MUSC and drop them off. Truthfully, they'd be prepared later. But it's not a good plan. Because people are sick over there. They don't want to do that. So, the other thing is that Samuel did not know that God would reach him like this. He did not know that God would connect with him in a real tangible way. And it took an older person, someone versed in relationship with God, who said, oh, I'm sorry. Now I get it. I'm awake 3 times. It's probably God. Just say, hey, what do you need? I'm here. Make sure you stay back to God's seat, because I'm ready to listen. Eli knew. Eli had been spoken to by God. Eli had a relationship with the Lord. And it was a surprise to Eli that somebody else was going to be involved in that same thing. Because Eli had been priest of the temple, and the only one that he ever knew that spoke to God, except when people came before him. So in the calling, there is sometimes surprise, and there is sometimes inconvenience, and there is sometimes the necessity of having an outside or a helper come alongside you when you get this calling, for them to recognize, oh, that was. In my calling as a minister, people came alongside me and they would say, oh, well, that makes sense because you're obviously destined to do this. And I would say, what? No, I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to be a Jacques Cousteau, not a rock star, sorry. But then somebody said, there's already a Jacques Cousteau. You can't be him. I want to be a remodeler. Someone came alongside me and said, I think that you're gifted. You really God's calling you into this direction. And because I listened to them, I moved in that direction. And it's been, you know, what God has called me to. It's clear to me now. So the second thing is, if we go and move towards our gospel reading from the Old Testament to the Psalm, King David is clear who God is. One thing about answering our call is that sometimes we don't hear the call or we deny the call because we don't have proper perspective about who God is in our life. And in the Psalms, we have a great clarity in who David thinks God is. David thinks God is everything. He is the center of his life. It's a great prayer to pray. Even the part to the end where it says, and maybe people don't like you can fall on the sword a little bit. You know, maybe those people can be push that out of my life so they don't push me away from you or cause me fear. But certainly the first three-fourths of the prayer that is the psalm is just a great blessing of his Lord. He knows who God is. You are the creator of who I am. There is no doubt there who God is in David's life. And in our lives, many times we come to church, we go out and worship, or we read our Bibles, knowing that we know who God is in our life because we have put him in a very special place. He is this place for our 15 minutes a day for our devotion. Or he is this the God that we worship on Sundays, because Sunday is the day we commune with God, and we don't have him the rest of the week. We only have him on Sunday. Or we have a God that will do these things for us, and we'll take the rest. So I am, that's what I am. God shows a certain level of usefulness in my life, and then I take the rest because I can do it. I don't need that. I'm not fully sold out to God all the time. And so I'm driven to my knees, and then I realize that I'm back at the King David level, where God is the center of things. So in order to receive a calling and say yes to it, we have to know that if God calls, and it's outside of our agenda, outside of our plans for our life, outside of the things we hold dear, it may be something completely different, and we need to say to him what Samuel was told to say: "Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm here. I'm here." That's the answer we have to have ready at all times. God says something to us that sounds uncomfortable and difficult: "Speak, Lord, I'm here." I'm talking about difficult, because the First Corinthians reading, that's a difficult reading. And we'll center into all of the big asterisk words in there. The center of that reading is Paul is saying to people in Corinth, stop worshiping things other than God. Stop putting your urges and desires in front of God as God. Stop putting God behind and those things that bring you physical pleasure first as God. They occupy your lives fully. They've caused you to make bad decisions. They've caused you to spend all of your money in one direction. They've caused you to shape your family around your desire to have these things fulfilled instead of having God at the center. This one, it hits me right at home. I think most guys my age. When we are listening for the call of God, or walking out the call, we have to know there are things that are in this world that are impediments to our relationship with God, and they are our idols, and we need to push them aside so the calling on our lives becomes a blessing and a blossoming, and not just another part of our compartmentalized life. Put the little gods out, put the big God in. That's one of the things that Samuel had, because he was raised at the very beginning of his life in the temple. He didn't know he didn't. When Samuel said, "Listen and say, I'm here," he said, "Sure, that sounds great." He didn't say, "Well, that's nice, but really, it's, I have a thing. I've got my family. There's a game over here. I'll call you back. Can you leave a message? I'll get right back to you." He didn't do that. He said, "Speak, I'm here." Then we have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, who brings about a time when the disciples were being formed as a group by Jesus, where he was walking along and saying, "Hey, you guys, follow me," and then saying, "Yes, I can't say no." Nathanael, who Jesus didn't know, who he had seen under a fig tree. I mean, it's the weirdest story. "Yeah, I saw you under the fig tree, so I know who you are, what you're all about." Nathanael, first of all, doesn't want to talk to Jesus. Why? Because he's country. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Hanahan? Anything good come out of Dalzell, South Carolina? That's what he said. Nazareth is full of hicks and carpenters, people like that. Which is funny, because Andrew and Peter and all the people that went to go get him, they were fishermen. They didn't smell good. They were working men. Did anything good come out of Clemson? I've heard that. I see a t-shirt with that on there, actually. How about that? Of course they did. Of course they did. And when he got to Jesus, he said, "Oh, there's a real Israelite right there with that lunch." That's what they said to him. "There's a real Israelite right there with that lunch." Recalling the prophecy that came from way before. You'll be an Israelite without blemish. There he is. He's not some stereotypical country boy like you think he is with no brain. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior. There he is right in front of you. And he said, "Hey, Nathanael, I saw you before under the fig tree." And Nathanael is so excited that he's been recognized by Jesus in this powerful way that he doesn't just say, "Nice to meet you. I'd love to learn a little bit about you, maybe hang out with you." He goes right into blasphemy, man. He goes right into the thing, getting stoned by the people around him. You are the Savior, the Son of God. You are the answer to prophecy. That's a quick, Nathaniel is probably not, well, he's prone to quickness, but he goes all in right away. That's what being in the presence of the Lord is. That's when a real call comes from God. He said, speak, Lord, because I will listen. He didn't say, that sounds neat. I'd like to be a part of that. Maybe I'll fit that in on Thursday. I'd love to see what you want from me. Now, you might be changing my life a little bit. I asked the son I'd leave behind, but I'll work that out. I'll get the apartment. Now, he said, follow me. And we will find in all of these stories, when we are able to put our small God aside, when the big God in the center of it, and he calls us, we are able to say yes to him, that the changes he asks for us in our life, which first sound like great pain, with holy perspective, will be no problem at all. Looking back on your struggle before you had God, and looking back on your struggle through the time you were walking with God in the present, will be like you were counting the days when you were being blessed over and over and over, even if you were in hardship. Life with God, answering the call to God, brings you into a place where hardship is not bad. Because you're not walking alone. Hardship, struggle, disease, relationship struggles, all those hardships, when God is involved in it, become something holy. Become a lesson learned. Become part of the tapestry that you are. As you walk, loving God as your Lord and Savior, and loving your neighbor as yourself, you will become transformed. If you just walk knowing that you're God, everything's going the way you want it and you're happy, you will never change. You will never grow, and you will never become more and more holy like Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate goal. Walking in love, you're going to be more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. So, God is calling you. He may have already called you. You may have said no. You may have said not now. You may have said, wait till I retire. You may have said, wait till my dog dies. You may have said, wait till I move to another place. You may have given him all kinds of, wait till I do. But what he wants from you is the same answer that God gave to Samuel, which Samuel gave to God. Speak, Lord. I'm here. I'm open. I'm listening. And then when that happens, when you get that call, talk to somebody else about it. Find a person of faith and talk about it. Talk about it with them. You may have to talk for a month. They talk for a year. It took me years to get to seminary. Finally, my wife turned to me and said, I go to seminary, you need to go. I was like, oh! It's like Eli saying, speak. Come speak if you listen. God has a calling on your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a blessing on your life. He has a goal for your life. Not only bless him, which means you will be in perfect relationship with him through Jesus Christ, which is a good thing, but also that you will bless others. We will go back to the great commandments. Love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. When those two things are in place in your life, you will see that he will bring balance to your life, even though it seems like he's knocking you off kilter. He is not a puppet master trying to run you around and do things. He is a loving Father who wants the best for us and the best for you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, you pour out your grace upon us in times when we don't expect it. You bring us blessings in time, in ways sometimes that are not what we have asked for, but are certainly what we need. You also are there every time we ask you to be present. Father, we pray that those times when you need us, not just when we need you, but when you need us, be part of the effort you have made on this earth to bring us back into a place of righteousness and holiness and grace. That we would say to you, speak, Lord, for I am here, and I am listening. Make our ears tingle with this powerful word you have. Give us your strength, encouragement, and direction.
walk in your will, in your ways. In Jesus Christ our Lord.